KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 37 degrees in Atlantic. We look for light rain here this morning, possibility of some showers and even a thunder shower during the day today. And a winter storm watch will be in effect for later tonight through Saturday night. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this morning by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Sheriff's officials in Harrison County said Thursday that two people were injured during a two-vehicle crash Wednesday afternoon about 2 miles east of Missouri Valley. Authorities said a 2011 Ford Fusion was traveling east on Highway 30 at around 2 p.m. Wednesday when the car crossed the center line of the road and hit a 1991 Honda. The driver of that car, 54-year-old Jeanette McGraw of Magnolia, suffered life-threatening injuries and was transported by helicopter to the trauma center at Creighton University Hospital in Omaha. The driver of the Fusion, 31-year-old Carrie Collier of Woodbine, was transported by ambulance to a hospital in Missouri Valley. The crash resulted in Highway 30 being closed for about 2 hours, while an investigation was conducted and the vehicles removed. News time is 8:01.
Better communication for a more romantic Valentine's Day. Now you might think, how does that work? But in order to have a healthy romance, you need good communication. And if one partner is experiencing a hearing loss that interferes with effective communication, that couple's love life may be sidetracked. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. When family members constantly have to repeat themselves, sometimes to the extreme of raising their voice, it can be interpreted as anger. Or when you're with that special someone and they're whispering sweet nothings and you can't hear them, they may think that you're unresponsive or not interested, when actually you simply can't hear them. But there is something that you can do. If impaired hearing is causing a breakdown in your communication with loved ones, a simple evaluation might just reveal the true villain in this love story. Be a hero. Call today for a hearing evaluation. Give your Valentine the gift of good communication, and you'll see the positive effects with your family and your friends. Call today, and together we'll determine the best decisions for your hearing loss. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Authorities in Pottawatomie County say a Lewis Central Community Schools Spanish teacher resigned Wednesday after being confronted by the school superintendent about accusations that he had sent inappropriate text messages to a 17-year-old female. Pott County Sheriff Jeff Danker said warrants for the teacher were issued Wednesday after authorities contacted and started interviewing students.
Investigators yesterday took a report from a 17-year-old female in reference to her Spanish teacher, a 30-year-old Daniel Pantoja.
Danker says Pantoja, who lives in Omaha, faces a couple of different charges.
Apparently there was different communication there with over the cell phone, texting, and pictures that the investigators discovered, and the decision was made to charge Mr. Pantoja with sexual exploitation by a school employee, which is a Class D felony, and lascivious conduct with a minor, which is a serious misdemeanor.
Danker says in December, Pantoja obtained the girl's cellular phone number in class because she was working at the Mall of the Bluffs as Santa's elf. Pantoja reportedly told the girl he wanted to get his picture taken with Santa while the juvenile was on the job. Soon thereafter, she began to receive text messages from Pantoja consisting of statements indicating that if he were her age, he would ask her out and other similar statements. The teen alleges Pantoja took her phone during class and without her consent had searched the picture folder where he discovered pictures of her wearing a sports bra and shorts. She said after he discovered the pictures, he texted her asking her to send him that photo. The girl agreed to send Pantoja the picture in exchange for a better grade in class. Pantoja also reportedly sent the girl a nude picture of an adult male torso with the genitalia covered by the left hand. The picture was allegedly sent from Pantoja's cell phone, the same from which the text messages originated. He then allegedly requested that the girl send him two more pictures of herself, one with more clothing and one with less. And Danker says investigators have spoken with Pantoja, and he was expected to have turned himself in. His bond will be set at $5,000. Owners of Council Bluffs ethanol plant, that is, have agreed to pay a fine for failing to implement risk management regulations required under the Clean Air Act. Southwest Iowa Renewable Energy LLC will pay a $10,000 penalty and spend at least $38,000 to purchase emergency response equipment for the Council Bluffs and Lewis Township Fire Departments to settle the case with the EPA. The Environmental Protection Agency says a January 2010 inspection of the plant found no risk management plan on file. Such a plant is required because the plant stores more than 10,000 pounds of anhydrous ammonia, which is a hazardous chemical. The plant was storing about 28,000 pounds. The Clean Air Act rules are designed to prevent accidental chemical spills and minimize damage when there is a spill. An update on flood recovery efforts in western Iowa is on the agenda as the state interagency Missouri River Authority meets today in Des Moines. Chuck Gipp, the deputy director of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, says the process of cleaning up from all the damage and rebuilding after last year's summer-long flood is far from over.
It's how you help people recover from that event is, I think, the biggest struggle that we have, and also to see if there's anything we can do to avoid a repeat of that in the future.
The authority makes recommendations on policies affecting the Missouri River. Besides the DNR, groups involved include the state departments of Homeland Security and Agriculture, as well as federal agencies like FEMA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Gibbs says making repairs to the damaged flood walls all along the river is a high priority.
The levees are going to be an important part of that because people were accustomed to going behind the levees. They were told initially that this wasn't going to occur after the six major dam and reservoirs were built upstream, and I guess that Mother Nature told us that you can maybe delay it, but you can't get rid of the flooding aspect.
Gibbs says much of the DNR's role is to help state and federal agencies coordinate during the recovery process.
A lot of what we do in the department is, and especially when it comes to the levee issues, floodplain issues, is dependent on the Corps and the FEMA and the reimbursement for that. So I think there's a good coordination. Some of that was learned simply because of the experiences on the east side of the state in 2008.
He says the panel will also discuss current and potential hydrologist roles and responsibilities in the state. Officials of the Cass County Conservation Board say the annual Great Backyard Bird Count will get underway in about 2 weeks. The event is hosted by the National Audubon Society, the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and a Canadian partner, Bird Studies Canada. Results provide a snapshot of where the whereabouts of more than 600 bird species are. Anyone can participate in the free event, and no registration is needed. All you need to do is to watch and count birds for at least 15 minutes on any day of the count from February 17th through the 20th. You can enter your results at www.birdcount.org, where you can watch as the tallies grow across the continent. The four-day count typically records more than 10 million observations. Elsewhere in state news, new body scanners are being installed at Des Moines International Airport. The new scanner only uses a generic body image to represent the person being checked. It then focuses on areas where questionable items such as keys or cell phones are found. The Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, said last year the technology initially will be installed in 241 security machines at 40 airports around the country. The agency plans to install it in all airports eventually. The Des Moines Airport hasn't announced when the new technology will be put into full operation. Republican legislators have unveiled a proposed budget that would force state workers to pay $200 a month toward the cost of their health care coverage. House Speaker Craig Paulson said Thursday that's less than most Iowans must pay for health insurance, and it's only fair that state workers share in the burden. He concedes that the contract the state has with its unions would have to be modified to make the change. Danny Homan, who heads the largest union representing state workers, says he has no intention of opening that contract for more discussion. He notes the contract is binding until the summer of 2013. The Republican budget is for the year beginning in July. It calls for spending just over $6 billion, a 1% increase. A liberal policy group estimates that more than 250,000 adults and 265,000 children would benefit from the expansion of working-class tax cuts backed by Democrats. Charles Bruner, executive director of the Child and Family Policy Center, made the estimate Thursday at a hearing of the Senate Ways and Means Committee in Des Moines. Democrats want to nearly double the credit, which provides tax relief for working-class families and individuals. Julie Heck, a single working mother of three from Pleasantville, also spoke before the panel, telling lawmakers the additional $140 she'd receive under the measure would mean a lot to her family. The credit currently maxes out at $379 a year for a married couple with three children making about $43,000 a year, or $32 for a single adult making up to $13,450 per year. Taking a look now at world headlines on KJAN. For the fifth month in a row, the unemployment rate is lower, this time dropping to 8.3% after a surge in hiring last month. The government says employers added 243,000 jobs last month, and that's the most in 9 months. Over the past 3 months, employers have added an average of 201,000 jobs, and that's 50,000 more jobs per month than the economy averaged last year. Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei says that Tehran will continue its nuclear program, and he says any U.S. military strike would only make Iran stronger. The Islamic Republic's supreme leader also says President Obama sent the Iranian leadership a letter in an attempt to end the nuclear standoff, which he says shows the U.S. can't be trusted. The White House denies there's such a letter. And portions of Interstate 70 and 25 are closed in Colorado as a powerful winter storm moves across the state. One area west of Denver has a foot and a half of snow, and forecasters say another foot is expected in some areas before the storm moves out tomorrow. Parts of Wyoming, Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas are also expected to be hit by the storm. News time is 8:10.
Better communication for a more romantic Valentine's Day. Now you might think, how does that work? But in order to have a healthy romance, you need good communication. And if one partner is experiencing hearing loss that interferes with effective communication, that couple's love life may be sidetracked. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. When family members constantly have to repeat themselves, sometimes to the extreme of raising their voice, it can be interpreted as anger. Or when you're with that special someone and they're whispering sweet nothings and you can't hear them, they may think that you're unresponsive or not interested, when actually you simply can't hear them. But there is something that you can do. If impaired hearing is causing a breakdown in your communication with loved ones, a simple evaluation might just reveal the true villain in this love story. Be a hero. Call today for a hearing evaluation. Give your Valentine the gift of good communication, and you'll see the positive effects with your family and your friends. Call today, and together we'll determine the best decisions for your hearing loss. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Francis Carter, age 87, of Audubon, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Francis Carter will be this morning at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Eloise Peterson, age 91, of Atlantic, died Monday. Services for Eloise Peterson will be this morning at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Bernice Adair, age 91, of Panora, died Monday. Funeral services for Bernice Adair will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Leroy Rolkoltz, age 81, formerly of Adair, died last Friday in Illinois. Graveside services for Leroy Rolkoltz will be held today at 11 o'clock in the Dalmanutha Cemetery north of Casey. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Glenn Benfield, age 75, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. A memorial service for Glenn Benfield will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Roger Rubel, age 72, of Audubon, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Roger Rubel will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon, with the Hockenberry, England Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. Jennifer Rule, age 53, of Anita, died Wednesday. A memorial service for Jennifer Rule will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home has the arrangements. Virginia Matteson, age 85, of Harlan and formerly of Audubon, died Thursday. Celebration of Life graveside memorial services for Virginia Matteson will be on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Maple Grove Cemetery in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. And Laura Lillian Landis, age 93, of Griswold, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Laura Landis will be held on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Griswold United Methodist Church. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Henson, KJAN News.